This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Hour two of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming to you from the 2021 PGA Championship as we are live from the Freshfield Village on Kiawah Island, and we'll be all week long live out here all the way through Sunday when they crown a champion. We'll be joined throughout the week, throughout the afternoon by Scott Glaze and Meredith Taylor. And you can come see us for a chance to win a foursome at Stono Ferry. Our coverage brought to you by Starling Chevrolet, I Promise I Vitamins, and Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island. Well, we've added on now. You know, I've been complaining. You complain about the bugs for an hour on the radio. Something happens. Bobby went out. He bought us a candle to keep the bugs away, whatever it's called. And you light it. So now we even have the mood lighting going here as well. I've been talking about the great setup we have, making you feel jealous throughout the afternoon. The one complaint I've had is very buggy around here. So we got even now the candle to keep the bugs away. So it's perfect. Although then the wind blows and it blows it out. So we need somebody specifically just to stand over that candle and keep lighting it, because otherwise that's what Bobby's going to be doing for the next couple of hours. That thing keeps going out on us. But now we have a lighter for, you know, I went for a walk yesterday. I double as the on-site engineer around here, so I'm here until we're done, until we pack up and leave at the end of the day. So I went for a walk yesterday. I had to get my steps in. I think I saw some place around here that sells cigars. So now we have a lighter for my cigar lighter. I'll go grab one on my walk and kill the time like that later. We got our lighter. We got the candle going out. I'm trying to keep the bugs away. We just have to figure out a way to keep this thing lit throughout all the wind this afternoon. You'll be hearing about the wind plenty. Yeah, stand over there and keep an eye on that thing and light it up all afternoon. That'll be Bobby's job now. All right, hopefully that helps keep the bugs away. Otherwise, it's a beautiful setting out here, beautiful weather. We're watching the golf right now. Patrick Laird still in the lead at 4-under. He's through 16 now. And, oh, Brooks Koepka at 2-under through 14. Colin Morikawa 2-under through 13. Keegan Bradley's in second place. He's 3-under through 15. So Koepka, Morikawa, a couple of good names, and Keegan Bradley as well there towards the top. So we'll continue to keep an eye on the leaderboard. College football is 100 days away. That's what I'm told. And when you look at week one, it will be a better week one in college football this year than we're used to with a lot of the games. I saw 24/7 Sports put this out today and ask which team could be or should be on upset alert the most. They included 10 games, but they did not include any sort of lines or predictions. So I got to be honest, in some of these matchups, I'm not sure if they would be considered upsets. Some of these matchups, I'm not sure who would even be favored. But they provided the 10 games, so let's use their 10-game layout to run through this exercise. Georgia and Clemson. That's one of those that Georgia, we talked about this earlier this week on the show. I think they'll open as some sort of 4-point underdog. Georgia will. Will it be a huge upset if they win? I don't know if I'd call that an upset. I think that's going to be an evenly matched game in week one. Number two is Alabama and Miami. Miami, I imagine, will be closer to about a 20-point underdog against Alabama. That would be an upset. Game number three, Penn State and Wisconsin. I would guess Wisconsin will be favored, maybe by a decent amount, but that's another one that, especially week one, I could see that game going either way. Then you have LSU and UCLA. You have Notre Dame and Florida State. Ohio State and Minnesota. UNC against Virginia Tech. Ole Miss against Louisville. And Boise State against UCF. 10 games. The top 10 games. Oh, and Texas against Louisiana. I don't think I mentioned that one. Those are the top 10 games of week one in college football, which now is 100 days away. It's around Labor Day weekend. It is a Labor Day weekend, but it's based around that, right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think there's even a game Monday, maybe. Labor Day weekend, all these games are going on throughout that weekend. Who should be on upset alert? Well, if we run through these games, right, Alabama should handle Miami week one. Even with all the changes for Alabama, Miami just is not on their level. Penn State and Wisconsin, that could be a game. I've talked about Penn State, that I'll give them a mulligan this past year. I think they'll be better in 2021. I think they'll be closer to what we were expecting in 2020. I also think Wisconsin will be really good this year. They were a team that struggled last season where because of COVID, they didn't have their quarterback. I think Wisconsin will be even better this year as well. Would I be surprised if Penn State beats Wisconsin? Not really. LSU should handle UCLA. I think LSU bounces back this year. And even if they don't, even if LSU performs like they did a year ago, UCLA is still not on that level. Notre Dame should handle Florida State. UNC should beat Virginia Tech. I have high hopes for UNC this year. They're returning their entire offensive line. Sam Howell should be one of the best quarterbacks in the country. The defense will be improved. You have Mack Brown, a good coach there. Justin Fuentes at the hot seat at Virginia Tech. I think UNC wins. Ole Miss against Louisville. Louisville had a bad season a year ago, and I've always been smitten on Lane Kiffin. That was almost poetic. So I think Ole Miss handles Louisville and Scott Satterfield week one. Gus Malzahn in his debut goes up against Boise. That should be a fun game from the group of five. And I don't know how big of a favorite. I would guess Boise would be a favorite, but I don't know how big of a favorite they would be. I think UCF will have a good year. That's a game I could see going either way. The two games I will point out, actually let's say three, that could be upsets. The three teams that could be, or maybe should be, on upset alert week one of the college football season 100 days out. Number one, I'm going to say Ohio State. I would guess that Ohio State would be a double-digit favorite against Minnesota. Maybe only 10 points, maybe closer towards 14 to 16. I think Ohio State will be a pretty heavy favorite against Minnesota. And I also would bet that Ohio State would win that game. But if we're looking for a potential upset in week one, I mentioned this earlier this week in passing during our underrated segment, because I think Minnesota will be one of the more underrated teams maybe in all of Power 5 football this year, but especially the Big Ten. They were my choice for the most underrated team in the Big Ten right now as we get ready for the upcoming season. I think Minnesota bounces back in a big way. They were a really good team in 2019. They struggled this past year. But as I laid out earlier this week, a few teams that struggled in the Big Ten and the Pac-12, I think they have a fair excuse to claim, you know, some sort of mulligan with last year's pandemic and quirky season. Because for the conferences, it was very quirky. The ACC, the SEC, the Big 12, that was as close as normal as you could have given the circumstances. For the Pac-12, the Big 10, right? The Pac-12, they played, what, five games? Some of the teams only played four games. They're playing at 9 a.m. They didn't start playing until Halloween. We already excluded them from the playoff to begin with, so they didn't have much of a chance there. You didn't have the normal motivation. They didn't have their non-conference games when they could prove their conference is better than we believe. Just a weird season. They didn't think they were going to play at all. They were following the Big 10. So I'll give mulligans to Big 10 and Pac-12 teams. Minnesota is one of those teams. They're returning their quarterback. They're returning their entire offensive line. They're returning nine starters on offense. I think it's 18 starters overall. So when you want to talk about week one, and what's the old cliche? Right, we could turn it into a drinking game here on the Mora Midday Show. How many times do I have to say week one in football is the biggest toss-up? You just don't know what you're going to get, especially when you're talking about 18 to 21-year-olds. Minnesota will be one of the most experienced teams in the Big Ten. They're returning some of the most starters in the country. Ohio State, they have to try to replace Justin Fields and will do so with a quarterback with zero experience. So if there's ever a chance to try to beat Ohio State, it may be week one. With an experienced team from Minnesota, their quarterback coming back against Ohio State, who will have to replace the most important position and one of the best players in the country in Justin Fields week one to begin. That would be a team I would put on upset alert week one. I don't know if it counts, but I would put Clemson on upset alert because I do think Clemson-Georgia will be a really good game. I think it will be a pretty even matchup. I would take Clemson to win. But if we're talking upsets, quote-unquote upsets, I think Clemson has a greater chance of being upset than, say, Alabama against Miami or LSU against UCLA. I think Clemson will win. If they're favored by four, I would take them to cover that four-point spread we talked about earlier this week. But a similar idea to Ohio State, you have a new quarterback coming in. Right, you're without your running back, you're without your left tackle, you have some moving pieces, it's a neutral site game, you're going up against Georgia, who should be one of the better teams of the country this year. They have a quarterback in JT Daniels, who I like a lot. So there's some moving pieces for Clemson, and week one, biggest toss-up, if you're not ready to go, you could get caught, you know, with your pants down and lose a game on a neutral site against the top maybe five, top ten, certainly, team in the country. That won't be an easy matchup. I don't think either way you could call it an upset when you have those two teams. But since they were included on this list, we'll include them as well. But the team that I would guess will actually be upset is Texas against Louisiana. Of these 10 games I brought up, the 10 best games, the 10 games we're excited for week one of the college football season, the one game that could lead to an actual upset, because Clemson, I would not consider that an upset. Ohio State, I would put on upset alert. But most likely, it would be Texas against Louisiana. Louisiana, we know last year with Billy Napier, had a very good season. And they are bringing back more experience than any team in college football in terms of the amount of players they are returning. Maybe it was part of the reason why Napier could be picky in where he chose to go this offseason, because he's got a pretty good thing set up there with Louisiana. They were 10-1 last year. They were a top 15 team in the country a year ago. And now they bring back, they beat a ranked Iowa State team last year. And now they bring back almost the entire team. They have more guys coming back, more snaps coming back than any other team in the country. And they go up against Texas in week one, which begins the Steve Sarkisian era. So as I talk about moving pieces, I think that's where you have to look for your upsets. Teams that will have quarterbacks starting for the first time. Teams that are replacing half of their starters. Or teams with a new head coach. And Sark has done it before, and I think he'll do a really good job at Texas, but this isn't the Texas, you know, we grew used to with Mack Brown. It's not the Texas that we hope to see every year, and we always ask, are they back? Is this the year Texas is back? Maybe it was more like Mack Brown at Texas was the outlier, the anomaly, and this is more of the norm, what we've seen under Tom Herman and Charlie Strong. I think Texas will be good. I think Sark will get them going, but I don't think they'll be ready to go. I don't think they'll be at that point already, week one of Steve Sarkisian's tenure. So if there is a team that could be upset, I have no idea what the line would look like for that one. But Louisiana, I mean, maybe Louisiana would be the one favored. Maybe we're talking about Texas trying to upset Louisiana. But I think Louisiana wins that game. If you're talking week one of the college football season, looking at the 10 best games in college football, which team should most be on upset alert? I think it's Texas. I also would put Ohio State on that list and include Clemson as well. But I think Alabama will handle Miami. I think LSU handles UCLA. Notre Dame handles Florida State. UNC handles Virginia Tech. I think Ole Miss beats Louisville. Maybe you'd call that an upset, but I think Ole Miss would be favored. And I think Louisiana will beat Texas. Louisiana will have a really good year this year. And I think Clemson and Georgia will be a great game. And I also think if you're going to get Ohio State at any point this year, maybe it's week one. Right, much like we've been talking about with the NBA, you want to get these teams early in the playoffs because they have not gelled. The Brooklyn Nets, the LA Lakers, play them early on because they haven't played together enough. Same idea with Ohio State. Get them early on because by the time you get to November, December, they'll be a well-oiled machine. They'll have a quarterback who is much improved at that point. But right now, he's unproven, and I want him week one as opposed to week 10. I think Minnesota will be a good team this year, and I think maybe they could even surprise Ohio State to begin the year week one. That's who I would put. Those are the teams I would put on upset alert to begin the college football season 100 days from now. Looking forward to it. We're at the 2021 PGA Championship. Keegan Bradley leading the way at 3-under. Him and Patrick Laird going back and forth. They're both now at 3-under. That's been pretty consistent for the lead so far today. Round one, day one today. Laird's through 17. Bradley's through 15. Koepka and Morikawa through 14 and 15. They're at 2-under. So that's what we're looking at right now as the second half of golfers get out there over the next 90 minutes. We'll continue to keep you posted on the 2021 PGA Championship Plus. Coming up, CBS Sports put out a list of the they ranked all of the coaches in college football. And if you're a Gamecock fan, you're not going to like that list. We'll also catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery in about 45 minutes as well. And a whole lot more going on here from Freshfields Village on Kiowa Island. For our coverage of the 2021 PGA Championship out here at Kiowa Live with you all weekend long, it's the Moore Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio.
Show, but the pain's too rose, so stranger to you and me.
It's the Moore Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming to you from the 2021 PGA Championship live from Freshfields Village on Kiowa Island. Our coverage all week long brought to you by Starling Chevrolet, I Promise I Vitamins, and Freshfields Village on Kiowa Island. We'll hear from Patrick Rada coming up a little bit, the former Gamecock golfer from South Carolina, who's actually the first man off the tee today. He spoke to the media just a few moments ago. We'll hear from him and maybe a few other golfers this afternoon. Ricky Fowler just spoke with the media as well. We have that interview. So we may hear from a couple of guys here at the PGA Championship. which is up and running here in day one, round one. You know, last night I got home, and Blake, I would, you can weigh in on this as well. Last night I got home to try to unwind after being out here at Kiawah Island, and I was watching the basketball games, but I flipped on Big Bang Theory on TV last night. And I was watching a little Big Bang Theory, and I'm a casual fan. I'm not a big fan of the show, but I'll watch it every once in a while. I've watched Young Sheldon. I think that show is actually pretty terrible. And I think Sheldon, whatever his name is, Sheldon Cooper, the character from Big Bang Theory that got his own spinoff, Big Sheldon, or Young Little Sheldon, whatever it is, I think Sheldon Cooper is the worst character in TV history to get multiple shows. That's my hot take today. I think he's a terrible character. There's nothing redeeming about Sheldon Cooper. And I can't believe he got one show, because he's the main character of Big Bang Theory, let alone they gave him a second show with Young Sheldon. That little kid is so annoying. if that was my child, right, I would move out. That show is brutal. I think Sheldon Cooper is the worst TV character to ever get, let alone one show, two shows. That's my hot take today.
Yeah, I mean, I will agree with you, because my aunt loves Big Bang Theory. My dad watches Big Bang Theory, but the thing about it is I watch it, and when I watch it, I'll laugh. Mm-hmm. There's parts that I do find funny, but it's because of Sheldon, I can't get hooked on it because I can't stand the character.
Right.
I can't stand the know-it-all, so smart, but also so dumb.
Yes. I don't have a problem so much with the show. I agree with you. I'll laugh. I like the other characters. I don't know the show well enough to even know their names. Like Galecki, the actor, Johnny Galecki, whatever his name is, his character's pretty good, and the other guy with the mushroom cut is real funny. But Sheldon, I watched the episode last night. He's freaking out because somebody touched an onion ring off of his plate. And it's like painful to watch. It's so annoying to watch this guy, Sheldon. And he got his own show. So I was thinking about this. The worst characters to get multiple TV shows. And some may say Joey Tribbiani from Friends. We're getting a Friends reunion.
I was going to bring up Friends because for the longest time, when Friends first started, I wasn't into first season at all.
No.
Because Phoebe was ignorant. I mean, Phoebe was like Sheldon. But then you realize that Phoebe actually, in real life, is the smartest one. She went to Yale University or something, Berkeley or something like that, and graduated with honors. And then, like, later on in the seasons, she knows different languages. She knows how to play music. Like, she is the artistic one.
Yes.
And she's very intelligent, but it's mixed with the stupidity, kind of like Sheldon's character. But I ended up being a huge, huge Friends fan. And, kind of excited about, but Joey was my least favorite character on
Really?
Friends. Yeah.
Ah, Joey's my favorite. I love Joey. I think Joey could be a popular answer. Look, the Joey spinoff was a mistake. That was terrible. But the Joey character in Friends, that character, I love that character.
Oh,
as
yeah,
goofy as he is.
It wouldn't have been, without Joey, they wouldn't have meshed. But the whole, like, Joey and Rachel thing, that kind of, I was like, come on.
Yeah.
Joey.
Well,
you can't have everybody. Come on.
I agree. Well, you could say the same thing about Rachel. I mean, man, she made her rounds in that friend circle as well.
I think she made her rounds in Hollywood at that time. Everybody wanted to be Rachel Green, from haircuts to everything.
That's true.
But yeah, I'm excited about the reunion with that one. But spinoffs, like the new Blossom.
I'm not familiar.
I thought Blossom had a reboot.
Okay.
I know the girl from Blossom did, and she's apparently, like, very, very intelligent in real life, too, but I can't stand her show. It's got that little guy in it that throughout the pandemic, he was like, what y'all do? And what's his name? Leslie.
Oh, yes. That guy's great. I love him.
Yeah, he's in it, and he's great. But, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. I think he's got, like, three names, doesn't he? Doesn't he use, like, his middle name or two last names?
Something Leslie.
Yes, he's great. I know him mostly from American Horror Story, 1984, actually.
And Will and Grace.
Will and Grace, yeah, he's a funny guy. And he's funny. He's good on social media. I was thinking of others, like Cleveland from Family Guy, if you want to go cartoons. He got his own show.
I love Family Guy.
I like Family Guy. If you were going to make a spinoff of anybody, though, I thought, you know, obviously Quagmire would have to be the obvious choice. Not Cleveland. Cleveland's a pretty dull character.
Yeah,
but the Cleveland show isn't bad.
I think Herbert. Hey, Jesses, come take your peeps and poops, Jesses.
Yes,
like, he's my favorite
citizen.
Character.
Yeah, Herbert's great. So I thought Joey, Cleveland, Sheldon's number one. And the other ones I came up with, Frasier, I never liked. His character in Cheers, maybe because he wasn't the main character, he's not so bad. I thought the show Frasier was boring. I think Frasier is one of the worst characters to get two TV shows. And the other one I got, the last one, Chachi. who from Happy Days and then got Joni Loves Chachi. Chachi was much more tolerable as an older Chachi in the show Joni Loves Chachi with Scott, when for Scott Baio playing that role. But when they introduced Chachi into Happy Days and he was just supposed to be like a mini, a knockoff of Winkler, of the Fonz, right, that was ridiculous. And he had this, his saying was, wah, right? That's what he would do. Instead of the A, he would do wah, wah. Oh, so tacky. Now, Chachi was much better as the grown version in the Joni Loves Chachi. So he never deserved a spinoff. He was also just like a second-tier character. I don't know why they gave him his own show. But I thought Chachi at least salvaged himself in the remake, or in the spinoff. Whereas for Sheldon, when I watch Big Bang, I think he's the worst character in the show. And then I watch Young Sheldon, I think he's the worst character on that show. Sheldon Cooper is the worst character to get multiple TV shows.
I got to step in here, man. I have done everything for you today. I brought you a TV.
Yeah.
I went over to Harris Teeter, bought you a candle.
Yeah.
Because you were complaining about the bug.
It's very buggy.
I brought you water.
Thank you. Yes, I'm very parched.
I'm not going to sit here and listen to you disparage my man Sheldon Cooper.
So you like Big Bang Theory.
I love the Big Bang Theory.
You like Sheldon?
Do you realize how hard that character is to play?
Yeah, because it's such a terrible character. I'm not talking about the actor. It was just, what, Jim Parsons, I think his name is?
And he's been in a bunch of movies, like Oscar-nominated movies. But
yeah, I'll give him credit. He's a good actor, but he's playing a terrible character in that show. Is Sheldon your favorite character in Big Bang Theory?
I like them all. I mean, I think it all, they all just fit together.
I think the show, if you took away Sheldon.
I can get rid of Raj. Yeah, I think he, especially now.
See, I like him.
Somebody need to find him a girlfriend. I'm tired of him whining about it. Well, the show's not even on anymore, and I thought the last episode was great.
Of Young Sheldon?
No, Big Bang Theory.
Have you watched Young Sheldon?
I have. I like it.
You like that, too?
Yeah, it's okay.
It's not a bad show, but again, it's the character. He's terrible. The rest of the show, if
I
you
like the grandmother.
Annie Potts.
Yeah,
I like her. I like the smart aleck little sister.
Yeah, she's funny.
I like the dumb little kid that's the next door neighbor that raises the chickens.
I don't know if I know that character. I haven't seen a lot of Young
Billy,
Sheldon.
Billy, or whatever his name is.
Okay.
But see,
but I'm not going to sit here and let you disparage my man Sheldon.
If you took Sheldon Cooper out of Big Bang Theory, I don't think the show is really impacted. I think it's
just as good
of a show.
I don't think it lasts a year if you take Sheldon out.
Oh, it's just as good of a show.
If you take Sheldon out of that show, it doesn't last a year.
You take Joey out of Friends, it's a different show. Friends is not as good. You take...
can take Wine and Ross and throw him in a river. I don't care.
See, and I hated Ross at the beginning of Friends, but by the end of it, he was hilarious.
I agree. I grew on Ross, or he grew on me. I agree. He was very annoying.
The man got married like 8 times in the show.
All the time.
And that was one of the puns. It was like when he would say something, they were like, you might want to watch it, Ross. You might not get married at all this year.
and they kind of wrote it into later on, he developed like an anger management problem.
But I've done everything, and now you're gonna mess with my man Sheldon.
I can take the focus off Sheldon because there's a lot that you did miss. Mayberry RFD. You know,
that was pretty bad.
The 80s show. Remember when that, after the 70s show?
Well, but I'm not talking about, spinoffs
are
typically bad.
They all lasted too long.
Spinoffs are usually terrible, but I'm talking about one character that got multiple shows, that got his own spinoff from the first show.
They all jumped the shark at some point.
Oh, of course.
How about
the problem?
Every sitcom does.
I've always said that about American TV. They made The Office originally in England, and they only did one season. And it was a great show, and they said, we only wanted to do one season. We're done. Here, all these shows, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is going on for 18 years. Enough already. Call it quits.
Yeah, and The Office went on too long, too. When Michael Scott left, I was done.
That's when they should have packed it in.
But how about when the Golden Girls, when Dorothy left, and they did a spinoff? That didn't last but 3 episodes.
They did a spinoff with the same characters?
The mom and Blanche and Rose, but Dorothy, that was crap. And the Connors, I feel like, has...
Yes, that was another one I was considering.
Well, the fact that the guy died and they brought him back to life would have been a big clue that it was over.
Yes, well, they should have packed it in at that point.
Yeah, it was stupid because it was like, it was all part of a book. Like, at the end of the Roseanne era, it was a book she was writing.
Oh,
and
really?
That's why he died. But
hogwash!
Yeah, that's how
they killed him off, and then they brought him back.
and then they
kicked Roseanne off the show.
Yes, once Roseanne got kicked off, then that's when they should have just said, "All right, enough of this. This isn't working out."
Yeah,
they brought him around. What kind of damn sports station is this?
They brought John Goodman back. He lost 400 pounds, and then they get rid of him.
He was dead. He was dead, and he can't eat in a coffin.
He looked dead when he got back.
Hey, John Goodman's driving around Charleston right now listening as they film Righteous Gemstones season two.
Oh,
he's
I'm kidding, John Goodman. Come by the studio. We'd
yeah,
love you.
He's in town. He's a big fan of the Mormon Day show. Keep, he listens on his lunch
you
break.
You keep talking, Sheldon. I'm going to get the guy from The Godfather that keeps walking around here. I mean, this guy's like the hitman from The Godfather.
I haven't
noticed. You didn't see the guy?
No, I haven't seen him.
Oh, I'll point him out to you.
I haven't noticed.
He's a creepy-looking dude.
Oh, boy.
All right, I'll let y'all go.
All right. Well, I went home last night. I'm trying to wind down, watch a little TV before the play-in games. I'm watching Big Bang, and I thought Sheldon Cooper has to be the worst character to get multiple TV shows. Get out of here. I did not watch Bang. Who has ever watched Big Bang Theory, watch Sheldon, and say, man, I wish he had his own show? Nobody. Get out of here. Whereas you can watch Friends and say, oh, that Joey's hilarious. I wish we had his own show. I wish Kramer had his own show from Seinfeld. He's so funny. Nobody says that about Sheldon Cooper.
I mean, I did hear Frasier. I mean, I've heard a lot of people, and I never gave Frasier a shot. But I hear Frasier was great.
I never liked it. I thought it was boring. Maybe I was too young. Maybe I wasn't the demographic, but I never got into it.
But
that
you remember what was the – it was on TGIF, and I only said –
Oh, of course.
But what was the brothers or the cousins? Cousin Lenny Appleton. What was the – Perfect Strangers.
Oh, Perfect Strangers.
Yeah.
Now, Perfect Strangers, if I remember correctly, they had one of the best themes, opening theme songs.
Yeah, and you know the spinoff from that was Harriet Winslow became Family Matters. But Steve Urkel didn't show up in Family Matters until the 8th episode. And then they realized, holy crap, we got a gold mine with this kid.
Yes.
And then it all became about him.
Those are good characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it worked out. Those are good characters. They should have their own show. And Family Matters was great, mainly because once they introduced the Urkel character, but still.
Yeah. Or Baywatch Nights by that one.
Well, the original Baywatch probably shouldn't have been on. Well,
nobody watched it for the acting. Let's be real.
No, for sure. But
the slow-mo running.
I did hear an interesting, I think it was one of the directors or producers on that show said that from their data research, they found that I think it was 60% of the viewers were actually female that watched Baywatch. And I was blown away by that statistic. I thought it'd be like 95% males watching it, you know, like late night reruns. But yes, the spinoffs never work. But my point was being just a single character that got multiple TV shows. I think Sheldon Cooper is by far the worst. And there haven't been many that have gotten multiple TV shows. They got their own spinoff from an original TV show.
Yeah.
Sheldon is one of them. He was the worst one.
I guess you're right. I mean, yeah, Joey's the only one that comes to mind. The Golden Girls. And
I like Joey, though, so I can't say that. Chachi from Happy Days Again did not deserve his own show, but he became more tolerable as an adult. Frasier, I didn't think, deserved his own show, and I thought Frasier was boring. And, Cleveland was the other one I mentioned from Family Guy. He didn't deserve his own show, but the Cleveland show isn't bad.
How about Three's Company? But didn't they go to Three's a Crowd? John Ritter had Three's a Crowd after that.
Oh.
And also The Ropers. So they had two spinoffs from Three's Company. Because wasn't Mr. Roper his tent, like the landlord?
But wasn't he a well-liked character? Jack Tripper, John Ritter?
He got his own show and went to Three's the Crowd, and I don't think that did as well. And then the Ropers had their spinoff as well in 1980.
Yeah. Three's the Crowd only lasted one season, so that didn't work. So, anyways, we could talk TV
all day.
absolutely, that's what I was about to say. I could talk TV
all afternoon.
Isn't
there some golf going on or something?
Oh, is there? I don't know. We're watching it on a TV screen. I don't know what's going on. Speaking of TV, that's the connection. We're watching a TV screen. Anyways, it's the PGA Championship. We are out here at Kiowa. When we come back, we will get actually back to the sports world and the golf world. We had Patrick Reid on the show earlier this week. He golfed for the Gamecocks. He's from South Carolina, and he's playing this weekend in the PGA Championship. In fact, he was the first man. He started this whole thing this morning. He was the first man off the tee at 7 a.m. this morning. So we'll hear from Patrick Reid when we come back, hear how things went for him out there to start this whole thing off. It's the 2021 PGA Championship. We're live from Freshfields Village on Kiowa Island. It's the Mar Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
She's gone and I
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming to you from the Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island for the 2021 PGA Championship. Our coverage all week long brought to you by Starling Chevrolet, I Promise, I Vitamins, and Freshfields Village here on Kiawah Island. Now that's a hit right there from the great band Toto from the same town I grew up in. That's my Darius Rucker, as I always say, around these parts. hey, today, by the way, is the anniversary of the final episode of Cheers, so that's our tie-in for the last segment's conversation with Frasier and all the spinoffs. Cheers actually finished on this date, I think it was, what did they say, 19, I don't know what it was. The finale aired on this date all those years ago. Anyways, we're out here at the 2021 PGA Championship. On the show a couple of days ago, we were joined by Patrick Rada, who played golf for the Gamecocks. He's from South Carolina, and he's playing this weekend in the 2021 PGA Championship. And he joined us to talk about it a couple of days ago. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand, ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Rada was the first man off the tee today. He got this whole thing started this morning, teed off at 7 a.m., and he just spoke to the media a little while ago. Let's hear from Patrick about how things went today, round one of the 2021 PGA Championship. And let's grab, we'll grab Rada's audio here, talking with the media.
Good morning, welcome back to the 2021 PGA Championship here at the Ocean Course in Kiawah Island, South Carolina. We're really happy to be joined by Team of 20 member Patrick Rada. Patrick, well done today. Opening with a 4-over par 76. You hit the first shot of the golf of our championship. And I wonder what that meant to you and how much you were thinking about it and when you were made aware of that honor.
Well, it was amazing. As soon as I qualified, I had heard a rumor that they might want me to lead off the tournament, being from South Carolina, spending so much time in the state. And you know, obviously, officially, it came out Tuesday with the pairings, and really just honored to start this championship. You know, it was nice just to get up early and get after it at the 7 o'clock tee time, and I had a great pairing. It was just amazing.
Your play early, you struggled maybe a little bit out of the chute, but then you played some really good golf the last 12, 13 holes. Maybe talk about a little bit of you know, how you got over that hump and came in strong.
Yeah, well, you know, the first tee, was so happy to obviously hit the fairway, hit a great drive, and that kind of, you know, got me into the round. And I hit some good shots. Number two, the par five, I wedged it. It landed right by the cup and spins right off, you know, down the swell, and unfortunately made a six. So, you know, I wasn't playing poorly. I got off to, with three bogeys, those first three holes. So I just kind of told myself, stick to what you've been doing, and was able to make a few birdies there in the middle stretch of the golf course and kind of right the ship. And, you know, obviously those last, I guess, five holes are back into the wind, and it's such a good test out there.
Let's hit the floor for some questions. Tom on four.
Hey, Patrick. Two things. Number one, the ninth. I think you hold out a chip. Talk about that and just go through that hole.
Yeah, sure. The ninth hole with that back left pin was so important to be in the fairway. Was able to do that, hit a good iron shot there at the flag. It's just a tough hole location, so it kind of rolled off the back into the first cut, but felt like I could still put a putter on it, and the ball just rolled out of the fringe so well, and it was just taking the exact line that I had hoped, and it went in, and it was just a really nice way to end the front nine.
Putted that ball.
I did, yeah.
And slightly, you touched on it, two over on the back of the final five, going in as the wind got stronger too.
Sure.
Just what are the challenges of those holes, all of them?
Well, it's just such a test. Two par threes, and I'm hitting a strong three iron in. You know, the par four, really every hole I have a three iron or a three wood, with the exception of the par five, number 16. So it's just they're long holes. They're challenging for everybody. And, yeah, it's definitely picking up here as we get into the middle of the day. So it's going to be very challenging for the rest of the field today.
Thank you.
Steve on number 11.
What time did you wake up?
The alarm went off at 4 o'clock, turned on the coffee maker, made a cup for myself and my wife, and it was, I was actually kind of ready to get up because, you know, the anticipation of the first tee shot, but it was nice to get go to bed early, get a good night's sleep, and get up and get here in the dark and be the first person on the range. That was really a surreal moment for me, as the sun's coming up there on the range by myself and Daniel, my caddy. That's a moment I'll never forget.
What time, when's the last time you woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning to play a round of golf?
Maybe never. Yeah, maybe never.
Any special do you still have family in the state and any special members here with you that just got to take this in with you?
Oh, yeah, I had a great kind of cheering section out there, my wife and two daughters. Unfortunately, my daughters are young, so they're at the house, but my wife and father, brother, aunt and uncle, I had about a crew of probably 12 to 15 people. So it was really just special to be able to share that together with them. I couldn't be more blessed to have those individuals here.
Okay, let's go back to Alex on number 9, please.
Yeah, a couple questions. One, you said it was it's a good test. What makes this, in your mind, a good test?
Well, driving is certainly at a premium. You have to hit the fairway. The rough is, it's manageable, but it's almost a half a stroke penalty if you put it in the rough. At least I felt like sometimes you can advance it to the green, but it's just so one, fairways are at a premium. Length, I don't know if it's true. Someone told me this is the longest yardage ever played in a major championship, and so I guess I picked a good one to qualify for. But it was it's just long. It's tough. They had some I thought pretty challenging hole locations on some corners. And, throw in the wind, and that makes for a very, very tough golf course.
The other thing is that the back nine played at 39-31, which is obviously 69 yards short of 4,000 yards. Could you have ever thought in your career in golf that you would be playing any nine holes at 4,000 yards?
No. I mean, when I was coming up, 7,200 was a pretty long golf course, and then it kind of has morphed into 75, 76, and now we're talking about in the 78s. And so I guess from 2012 they've built a few new tees. I can't imagine when they host another major here and down the road how long it'll play, because I feel certain it's not going to play any shorter.
Patrick, thanks for joining us. One more question from Juan, I'm sorry.
Sure.
Quick. So I understand Nick Price is connected to your club, to MacArthur. Did you have a chance to talk to him and then work on some things before you came here?
Yeah, I played with Nick last week at MacArthur and, tried to pick his brain as much as I could. He played here in the 07 senior PGA, I believe it was. And so he was pretty familiar with the Ocean course and certainly took his advice to heart. But he's just—he's a good friend and a great mentor to me, and whatever advice he has for me, I'm certainly always lending an open ear. He's a great human being, and I've enjoyed getting to know him pretty well.
And that was Patrick Rada, talking to the media just a little while ago. First man off the tee this morning at 7 a.m. to start this thing. Former golfer for the Gamecocks, grew up in South Carolina, and joined us earlier this week to help preview the 2021 PGA Championship. We're out here live at Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island. Brooks Koepka, Keegan Bradley right now in the tie for the lead at 3 under par, both of them with just one hole to go today before they're finished in the first round. We'll wrap up hour two when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
I'll be your non-stop love. You know what you get? Your non-stop miracle. I'm
It's the Mar Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Wrapping up Hour 2 on a Throwback Thursday from Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island. For this 2021 PGA Championship, our coverage brought to you by Starling Chevrolet, I Promise, I Vitamins, and Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island. We'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery about 10 minutes to talk about the Battery. They have a game coming up this weekend. So not only do we have the PGA Championship going on, but the Battery have a home game Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock start against the New York Red Bulls 2. Not the New York Red Bulls, but number 2 of the Red Bulls. And you can find tickets online at charlestonbattery.com. But we'll talk more about that and more about the start to the Battery season coming up at the top of next hour. Out here at Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island, you can always go online to freshfieldsvillage.com for more details and updates on everything they have going on all week long, as their championship week is presented by First National Bank. If you're coming out for the golf at any point this weekend, certainly stop on off here at Freshfields Village, get something to eat, do a little shopping. They got ice cream. Perfect capper to the day at Ben & Jerry's right around the corner from us. If only I could eat ice cream. In fact, that's a good thing that I can't, because otherwise I'd be stopping off there each day. I was looking at some of the pops across the way. They had Fudgicles and Harris Teeter. I may have to get some of those at some point this weekend. King Street Grill down the road from us, Cantina 76. Fuji Sushi Bar and Grill. They have a sushi menu and cocktails available across the street on the lawn. They're right out across from the water. King Street Grill and Cantina 76, they have used the streets to set up outdoor bars with TVs. So if you're just in the area, if you want to be in the area, you can come out and watch the event on the TV at different places around here. They've done a good job around here. They've closed off some of the streets, built up more bars outside. They have the Drip Lounge here, which is an IV hydration bar. They're going on all weekend long. They have a bar set up over there. They have TVs right on the water as well. And there's musical entertainment every night here at Freshfields Village. Tonight, you got Dave and the Soul Beats performing at the dock right on the water tonight, coming up this evening from 6 to 9. So that's what's going on if you're in the area, or will be later on at Freshfields Village. They got music going on all weekend and all sorts of spots to stop by, get something to drink, get something to eat around here, do a little shopping as well if you're in the area for some golf. Taking a look at the leaderboard here currently, Keegan Bradley at 3-under along with Brooks Koepka and Colin Morikawa, the defending champ. They're all through 17 and all at 3-under. You know, Rory McIlroy, we talked about on the show yesterday, he went into this thing as the betting favorite. He had the best odds to win this thing, but it's been a rough start for him. He was the winner back in 2012, but a much different tournament, a much different time of the year as well, and currently is struggling at 3-over through 17 today. He's 3-over par. He's tied for 86th, and he already has almost as many bogeys today, 6 bogeys today for Rory, as he had almost the entire weekend when he won in 2012. When he won in 2012, he had only 7 bogeys all weekend. He finished at, 13 under and won by 8 strokes. This year, a little bit different. He's got 6 bogeys today already. He's 3 over par. He's tied for now 87th. May not even make it to the weekend. He's through 17 today. So Rory was the betting favorite. He was plus 1,100 odds, which the next best odds, I think, was plus 15. So, you know, it wasn't a huge favorite, but a pretty decent margin there between him and the next guy on the odds list. Rory was the favorite in the eyes of Vegas coming into this thing, and he has gotten off to a brutal start today. Meanwhile, as mentioned, Keegan Bradley, Brooks Koepka, Colin Morikawa are at the top of the leaderboard here for round one this afternoon. And we'll talk more about what's been going on in round one of the PGA Championship coming up next hour. We'll also be joined by a member of the Charleston Battery in a little bit as well. And I've been teasing this throughout the afternoon, so we'll have to get to it coming up. But CBS Sports has put out their list ranking the top coaches in the in Power 5 football, the 65 coaches of Power 5 football teams. And Gamecock fans are not going to like the listing or order put together by the CBS Sports folks 100 days out of the college football season. So still plenty to do coming up in the final hour here on a Throwback Thursday. Maybe we'll talk more about Sheldon Cooper later on as well, just to get Bobby worked up. When we come back, we'll be joined by a member of the Charleston Battery, talk about their home opener from the past weekend and the next game coming up against the New York Red Bulls this Sunday. Jared Van Schaik will join us when we return. Hour 3 next. It's the Mar Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.